here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-800-259-5791 for this hour. That's 1-800-259-5791. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us our good friend, Pastor Chuck Crismeyer. We're going to be talking about his book, Out of Egypt. And for those of you who don't know Pastor Crismeyer, he was an attorney. He was, at the height of his career when God called him into the ministry. And how long have you been in the ministry now, Chuck?
Well, it's been about 15 years, Stan, since we left the practice of law.
All right. Well, I know that read the things that you've written, and I know you've impacted on so many people's lives. So I'm just going to be quiet and let you talk about your book that has been reissued, Out of Egypt, and about this basic theme that we've got to, of course, turn our back on the worldly things and really begin looking to the Lord, especially as the things are progressing today.
Well, Stan, there's no question about it. We are looking at dramatic times, no matter how you look at it, whether it's in terms of a dramatic election shift in America, whether it's in terms of dramatic events taking place in the Middle East, wherever you look, there is high drama at the OK Corral, so to speak. And what we see is God's hand moving in a very dramatic way. I think the majority of people believe that these signs clearly indicate that we're moving inexorably toward the second coming of Jesus Christ, that perhaps we're right on the near edge of that. No one knows the day or the hour, but we are urged to know the season. In fact, the great Apostle Paul said that these things should not take us unawares, as the manner of some is, but rather we should be expecting them, because we have been given full and adequate notice in the Word of God. So the provocative thing before us is, what do we do if indeed that is true? What is it that God would have each one of us who profess His name to do? Well, the great Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, went back and he reviewed for the Corinthian church some of the details of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And here was a group of people that all had the DNA of Abraham, the father of the faith. I mean, these people, if anybody was entitled to the promises of God, these people were entitled to it. And so God takes them out of Egypt, the house of bondage, with a mighty hand. And the first thing He does is take them through the Red Sea. And, of course, this was the exodus from Egypt is considered by the Jewish people as the greatest event in human history, since most of them do not consider the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For them, the exodus is the greatest event in human history, bar none. And certainly, for the great Apostle Paul, who was Jewish, as was Jesus and all of the apostles, this was a huge event. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he's reciting what has happened with the Jewish people coming out of Egypt, and how, actually, at that time they were Hebrews. They weren't Jewish. They were Hebrews. And so he says they all came through the Red Sea. They all were in the presence of God with the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke, and they all experienced the manna from heaven and the water from God, but God was not well pleased with them.
All right, well, we're going to be back here in just a few minutes with Chuck Crismeyer as we begin exploring, of course, what happened to the children of Israel. And having seen all of these wonderful and miraculous things, they still weren't ready to submit to our Lord. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Shelley, you look exhausted. What's wrong?
I am so tired. I just get so hot at night and can't sleep. I have tried everything. All kinds of fans, sheets, pillows. You name it, I've tried it.
My husband has always been a hot sleeper. He's never had a good night's sleep. Then we discovered something that really helped. It's called the Bedfan Personal Cooling System.
The what?
The Bedfan Personal Cooling System. It will keep you cool all night long and will work for everyone that sleeps hot, no matter what the reason. You can see it at bedfan.com.
How well are you sleeping? Are you getting the rest your body needs? Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The Bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? Or are you looking for the perfect gift for that person who has everything? The Bedfan is the answer. Visit us today at www.bedfan.com. That's www.bedfan.com.
Our terrorist cells are prime terror targets located near you. Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Yes, there is a choice, a real alternative, when it comes to news and information. The GCN Radio Network has become a world leader for those who want to know the truth. Visit GCNLive.com today and discover the amazing benefit of becoming a subscriber to the GCNLive.com Radio Club. By becoming a monthly subscriber, you gain access to higher quality audio streams of all of the compelling GCN broadcast. A full archive of the shows are posted on a daily basis within 3 hours, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, fast forward, rewind, pause, and at the same time, you are supporting a beacon of free speech. Visit GCNLive.com and become a member. It's so easy. There's a choice. There is an alternative, and it's called GCNLive.com. Visit GCNLive.com today. You can also get the entire month of your favorite show on MP3 CD that plays on computers and most CD and DVD players for only $19.95. Go to GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Stan, our guest today is Pastor Chuck Chrismeyer, and Chuck, you go ahead and pick up the story of the children of Israel and, of course, their disbelief.
Yes. Well, Stan, the situation is this. If we're on the near edge of the second coming, then this is going to be a critical, critical issue, because as the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 was talking with the Corinthian church, he said, look, those things that happened to Israel happened to them for our example, unto whom the ends of the world are come. Now, that means there's something here that we need to take particular heed to. And here's what the Apostle Paul said. And very few, if any, pastors across America will preach from this passage. It's too provocative. It's too risky. They won't preach from it. But here's what he said. He said, these things happened unto them, that is to Israel, for our example, unto whom the ends of the world. Therefore, take heed that you not fall like they did. Now, that to me is a gripping, gripping passage. First of all, it indicates we can fall. Professing Christians can fall. The great Apostle Paul said so. Secondly, he said, take heed. In other words, don't be prideful, don't be arrogant, and don't think that just because you crossed out of Egypt that you're going to enter the Promised Land. Why is that? Because there were 600,000 covenant seed of Abraham men who God took out of Egypt with a mighty hand but he didn't let a single one of them into the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb, two men. The scripture says they had another spirit. Now, what was that other spirit? And why is it that God would not let 599,998 men who were the covenant seed of Abraham, who believed in God, he would not let them into the promised land? The issue is, he couldn't get Egypt out of them. He got them out of Egypt, but he couldn't get Egypt out of them, and they were disqualified from the promised land. The Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 10, refers to that, and he says, don't let that disqualification happen to you and to me. Now, to me, that's something that ought to catch our attention and ought to drive us back into the Word of God. And certainly that's what we've done with our book, Out of Egypt, a prophetic call to the end time church, preparing end time trust for end time trials. The problem, Stan, that we have today is that we don't trust God. We believe in God, but we just don't believe Him. Now, this is exactly the problem that Israel had. They believed in God, but they didn't believe Him. Today, we pride ourselves on saying we believe in God. Every political candidate that comes down the pike wants to tell us that they believe in God. And we get all excited, and evangelical Christians bow down to their words as if somehow they are true, Bible-believing, God-fearing men and women. But they're not. They're using their so-called belief in God as a means to manipulate those who believe in who believe God into trusting them to save us through their political powers. And this is exactly what's happened in the last election. This revealed the profound distrust that we have as evangelical Christians in the God of the Bible. We have cast for the last 30 years through the culture wars, we have cast our lot and our trust in political saviors. And political saviors aren't going to save us. It's massive idolatry. We've gone back to Egypt. Just like the prophet Isaiah said, woe to them that go down to Egypt. Woe to them that trust in chariots and horses. And that's what we're doing. We've been trusting in chariots and horses now for 30 years to save us, to restore the American dream so that we could live happily ever after and have four chickens in every pot and four cars in every garage. The unfortunate thing is we have lost sight of God's purposes in our land, and idolatry has gripped us, and we're just trusting the spirit of Egypt. It's not the land of Egypt that God is concerned about. It's the spirit of Egypt. In our book, Out of Egypt, we have three chapters talking about the spirit of the city. God, in Exodus chapter 2 and 3, when Moses was there being called to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he went to God and he says, well, who am I going to tell them has sent me? And God says, you tell them I am. This is going to be my memorial name. This is the name that I want to be known by throughout your generations. I am. But here's the problem. The city says, I am. The spirit of our age says, I am. Zephaniah 2:15. The city says, I am. And I sit a queen. What's happening is, the spirit of man is arrogating itself against the spirit of God. Our political powers, our cities, everything about our striving as man is setting ourselves up as a competitive I am against the Spirit of God. God says He won't enter that kind of city. He'll have nothing to do with it. He won't have anything to do with it because it's idolatry. It's trusting chariots and horses. It's trusting the spirit of Egypt. So God says, come out of her, my people. I don't want you to participate in that. Over 400 times, Stan, from Genesis to Revelation, God has called His people out of Egypt. Over 400 times you'll find the words out of Egypt or similar words from Genesis to Revelation. Now, if we If we repeated ourselves that many times, people would get fed up with us. But God wants to get the point across. He wants us to come out of Egypt. Abraham, the father of the faith, had to come out of Egypt. Moses, the great deliverer, had to come out of Egypt. It took God 40 years to get enough Egypt out of him to make him useful in the kingdom. And then he sent him back in to take his adopted son Israel out of Egypt. It took God 40 years to get enough Egypt out of Israel to allow just two of them into the promised land. The scripture says that Jesus, the Lord of the church, had to come out of Egypt because it is written, out of Egypt have I called my son. And the prophet Zechariah says that in the last days, God will again call his son out of Egypt, that the scepter of Egypt will once and forever depart from God's people. This is a huge, huge issue. It is the overarching theme of the entire Bible. Every major theological position and issue is subsumed under the banner of coming out of Egypt. You can't understand the New Testament without understanding what it means to come out of Egypt and to get Egypt out of you. And I believe that we are poised here on the near edge of the second coming, Stan, and that the Spirit of God is once again, perhaps a final call, to those who will come out of Egypt, come out, don't have any participation in that, and let me get Egypt out of you so that you will be qualified for the promised land.
Well, of course, Chuck, most people live a very, very pleasant life here in the United States. Most people are very affluent. Most people really don't want to think about losing everything they have here in the way of material things, which is exactly what they had in Egypt. I mean, maybe they were second-class citizens, but at least they were comfortable in many respects. They had their homes. They may have had to work very hard, but, you know, there was a security there. And then there were lots of, I'm sure there were games and all sorts of entertainment, and there was always food on their tables. But, of course, when you turn your back on this secure society, it takes a lot of faith to do that, to put your faith in the Lord and believe that he is going to guide you rather than looking to the state or looking to Egypt.
Stan, you have hit it right on the head. The primary issue is trust. And that's what kept Israel out of the promised land. They believed in God, but they didn't believe him. They didn't trust him. Here, God, through Moses, told spies to go into the promised land and to check it out. There were one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, so they had representative sampling there. And they came back. We know the story about how 10 of the 12 tribes said, yeah, it's just exactly like God said it was, a land flowing with milk and honey, but there were these huge giants in the land. We can't go in and take the land. But two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, no, it's true that there are giants in the land, but if God said that he's given us the land, then we're well able to go in and do it. Let's do it immediately. Now, God's view of the report of the 10 spies was that it was an evil report. It was a factual report, and it gave their opinion. But God said it was an evil report, and the reason is that it disagreed with his viewpoint. And it revealed that they did not trust God to do what he said he would do. And because of that, they led the entire congregation of Israel that left Egypt, seeing God's mighty hand, they led them into discouragement, into murmuring, into complaining, and into distrust, such that, ultimately, it disqualified every single one of them from the promised land. Now, would distrust, that kind of lack of faith and distrust, disqualify us on the near edge of the second coming for the ultimate promised land? The great apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 10, says, absolutely, that's why I need to give you this warning. Out of Egypt, an end time message to the end time church. It's all about rebuilding trust. Stan, I got to tell you, and your listeners, that unless we come to grips with this message in our hearts, the majority of those who profess the name of Christ will receive the mark of the beast. They will. They will receive the mark of the beast and find every reason under the sun to do so. And it will cost them their eternal destiny.
And, of course, people will worry, but what am I going to do if I don't take it here? I won't be able to buy or sell. I'm going to have to get along in this society. But there, of course, once again, we're going to have to put our trust in the Lord. We're going to be back in just a moment with Pastor Chuck Quismire talking about his insightful book, Out of Egypt. Well, I think you'll really, really enjoy it. We'll be right back. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Gold, it's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jog a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Here at the Genesis Network, our guest is Pastor Chuck Quismire. We're talking about his book, Out of Egypt. And, of course, history records that when the children of Israel left Egypt, and, of course, really the pivotal time in Jewish history is the Passover. And, of course, that occurred immediately before they left Egypt. The spirit of darkness passed over their homes and preserved their children. And the firstborn in every Egyptian home was killed. And at that point, the Pharaoh decided to let them go. And, of course, but the problem was, and I think the same problem carries forward today, as Chuck is bringing out, is that most people really don't want to give up their own direction of their lives and put their faith totally in the Lord. But if things go as he fears, and as I certainly fear, we're going to have to trust in him. So pick up the story, Chuck.
Well, that's true, Stan. You know, there's a lot of confusion concerning Egypt and its symbolism and implications for us as believers. The general idea among Christians is that God is calling pagans out of Egypt. But that's not true. God took the seed of Abraham out of Egypt. It was those who had the covenant promises of God ingrained in the very DNA of their being. These were people that were heirs according to the covenant promises of God through Abraham, the father of the faith. Those are the ones that God called out of Egypt, not the pagans. And so when we get this confused, then we don't understand why it is that God wouldn't allow the children of Israel into the promised land. The reason is because they didn't trust him. They didn't, as professing believers, so to speak, as those who claim to believe in God, they didn't believe God. And because they did not believe him, they revealed that they did not trust him, and God could not allow people who didn't trust him into his promised land. The same is true today. God is calling professing believers out of Egypt, and he's trying to get Egypt out of us, not out of the pagans. This has been one of the big problems, for instance, with the culture wars of the last 30 years. And the culture wars were designed, framed around the idea of pointing the finger, conservatives and evangelical Christians pointing their finger at the pagans and expecting them to live like Christians. Well, the problem is that over the last 30 years, the professing Christians that were pointing the fingers and the conservatives that were pointing the fingers at the liberals and the pagans to shape up and live like Christians, they themselves were living more paganly than those they were pointing their finger at. So that the divorce rate now in God's own house exceeds that of our nation as a whole. Now, then you've got somebody like Dr. Ted Haggard, who is head of the National Association of Evangelicals, 30 million people, who has been leading in pointing the finger at the homosexual practice, which is an appropriate thing for him to do. But he was living like one behind the scenes. So, revealing that he himself was not truly trusting God. He believed in God, but he didn't fully trust him. Now, we have this manifested in our lives in so many different ways. And our nation has not improved through the culture wars. In fact, Dr. James Dobson joined me on my national radio program 2 years ago at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. I asked him outright, what is the difference? What has happened as a result of the last 30 years of culture wars? And he said, Chuck, I have to tell you that generally speaking, there has been no progress. No progress. Why? Well, I'll tell you the reason, Stan, is because we're trusting in chariots and horses. We're trusting in political power. And when evangelical Christians cast their lot with Egypt in political power, God says, okay, you do what you want to do, and we'll see how it works out. Well, it hasn't worked out very well. In fact, now we've lost our place at the political table that we were priding ourselves on, and the country still hasn't improved. The only way you can change this nation is from the inside out. We've got believers, true believers, have got to live as if they're in the kingdom of God, not live like Egyptians while claiming the name of Christ amongst the people. We look just like the rest of the culture. We have conformed to the culture. We don't trust God. We trust the American culture and the power of government. It's idolatry, and God says, come out of it, my people. I want you to repent, and I want to get Egypt out of you so that you will seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and then I'll bring all these things to pass for you.
Amen to that. Well, hang on. We'll be back in just a moment here with Pastor Chuck Chrismeyer, the book, out of Egypt, and we'll tell you a little later how to get them.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
It's America's number one selling brain support supplement, Focus Factor, and you can try it free. Focus Factor supports your memory, focus, and concentration with nutrients that support healthy brain function. And we've got a free bottle just for you, a $75 value. You simply provide $4.95 for shipping and handling, limit one per household. Call 1-800-407-6231. 1-800-407-6231. Come on, it's free Focus Factor. 1-800-407-6231.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Dad, can we stop? We need to go to the bathroom.
What? Again? We just stopped 2 hours ago.
Honey, let's stop because I gave the kids their Sport Berkey water bottles.
Why did you do that?
Because they can't drink and talk at the same time, and that way we don't have to listen to them singing,
"Are we there yet? Are we there yet?"
for the entire trip.
I didn't think about that. Great idea.
Yeah, and it's cheap entertainment for the kids. Bottled water costs around 75 cents a bottle, and using our Berkey Sport bottles, it costs us less than 2.5 cents per refill.
Honey, you're terrific.
Oh, honey, so are you. You're the one that bought the family our Sport Berkey water bottles. Now, can we stop? I need to go, too.
Get your Berkey Sport purification bottle for only $39 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Miss Meyer, I was just thinking as we were during the time, but at one time Egypt was the most powerful nation in the entire world, and we saw the wonderful things they built, the pyramids, the great statues, the great cities, today, why, of course, Egypt is simply, if you've ever been to Cairo, it's an overpopulated city with sort of dirty, and nobody really seems to be very happy there. But, you know, the center of the world really has been transposed to the United States. In many respects, the United States is the new Egypt, the new Cairo, really the center of all the world. And, of course, are we going the same way that Egypt did? So, to pick up the story there, Chuck.
Well, we certainly are. And the interesting thing is that just as Israel was in Egypt, so America, in its early days, was conceived of like Israel, making its errand into the wilderness from Egypt. Europe was seen as the Egypt of the day, and the pilgrims and the Puritans, as they came over to America, were seen by historians as making an errand from Egypt, so to speak, and its spirit into a new world and a place where they could live out their faith in purity and in holiness and in righteousness and display their trust in God. That's what characterized the Puritan and the Pilgrim colonies up there in Massachusetts. Interestingly, though, there was another colony in Jamestown. And, in fact, I live just about 50 miles from Jamestown, and we're getting ready to celebrate the 400th anniversary of this country and the landing at Jamestown. Well, there was a radical difference between the people that landed at Jamestown and those that landed at Plymouth and the Massachusetts Bay. And the difference was the people that landed at Jamestown professed to believe in God, but they really trusted gold. And their colony was a disaster. Now, if you go back in the memory of the American people, what do they remember? Do they remember the Jamestown colony and the wonderful things about it, or do they remember primarily the Plymouth colony and the Puritan colonies? Of course they remember the Plymouth and the Puritan colonies. That's, in fact, where our Thanksgiving memories are focused. And yet the very first Thanksgiving was at Berkeley Plantation just outside of Jamestown. Why don't we remember that? The reason we don't is because the spirit of Egypt characterized the Jamestown colony. And so we don't get the same kind of understanding and spiritual warmth by looking back at that as we do looking at the Plymouth and the Puritan colonies there in the north. And so from the very beginning, the spirit of Egypt vied for dominion and control in this country. From the very beginning. Stan, we have in Washington, D.C., a 555-foot Egyptian phallic symbol that lords it over our nation, right in the middle of the Washington Mall, halfway between the Lincoln Memorial and the United States Capitol. Several years ago, I was speaking there at the Lincoln Memorial, and I looked down toward the United States Capitol, and this 555-foot Egyptian phallic symbol, sexual symbol, nearly obliterated my ability to see the huge United States Capitol. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me right there, and he said, "Son, that's exactly what's happened all over this country. This phallic symbol, with its sexual implication, has now turned this country into one massive sexual orgy. And that, Stan, is what we're exporting around the world. We have become, we used to be known as the great exporters of the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, worldwide, we're known for our exportation of porn. We are the greatest exporters of porn in the world." And so this spirit of Egypt, that's just another manifestation of it, is lording it over our country. It's invaded the church house to where, according to George Gallup and George Barna, pollsters to the church and the nation, there is now no functional difference in the sexual practices within the church in this country as there is in the pagan outside nation as a whole. And among our young people, the latest report from George Barna and the Barna Research Group is that the professing Christians age 39 and younger no longer believe in the moral moral values as set forth as a scripture. We have been totally absorbed by the culture, and Egypt is now our life way. From the church house to the White House, Egypt now reigns supreme in our hearts. And God sees this, and he, again, wants to take us out of the house of bondage. But this time, instead of coming physically out of a nation called Egypt, he is calling us spiritually out. And he says, "Today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart. As they did, don't you harden your heart." But you know what? We're not getting it. We're not hearing it. Just like Israel didn't hear it then, we're not hearing it today. And that's why the great apostle Paul said, "Take heed that it not happen to you like it happened unto them, because this happened to them for our example, unto whom the ends of the world are come. This is a very serious issue. It's eternal in its consequences for us, and we must come to grips with it. We're preparing the way of the Lord, Stan, in the life of the reader for history's final hour. People that have read this book are saying they've just never read anything like it. It's tying the Bible together from Genesis to Revelation in ways that they never even dreamed possible. And helping them to rebuild end-time trust for end-time trials that are coming. Jesus warned of the trials that are coming. The apostles all warned of the trials that are coming. They're going to be massive, unlike anything in human history. And professing believers are going to be facing this. Again, will we trust God or won't we? Belief in God is not going to be enough. The Apostle James made fun of people that believe in God only. He said, you say you believe in God, even the devil believes and trembles. Don't tell me about how much you believe in God. That's not what cuts it. What cuts it is trusting him, taking him at his word. Do you really believe him? That's what we need to do. And this book, from the beginning to the end, leads the reader to understand what it truly means to believe God in these times.
Well, you know, I don't think any of us want to think that things are going to get worse in America. I don't think anybody wants to look forward to a time when this society, this utopian society, you know, we live in, that degenerates into chaos. But I believe this is the only thing that is ever going to get people's attention and get them to understand what's really important and turn them back to our Lord. And that is certainly the one thing that I think we can look forward to is worse may be better. And it may be the best thing in the world if this utopian society suddenly is crushed, you know, beneath the tyrant's heel, and we are forced then to become reliant upon the Lord. And I plead with our listeners to begin considering this as a possibility, to begin preparing themselves psychologically and spiritually for what lies ahead, because I think we're facing terrible, terrible times.
Amen, Stan. And if God would allow it to happen to Israel, the apple of his eye, why do we think we should be the exception?
Well, absolutely not. And I really hope that people will get your book. It's a great read. I've read it through from beginning to end, actually several times, and I think there's so much truth there that needs to be said over and over again until we're willing to accept that there's nothing we can really do on our own. We're really going to have to turn to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. You know, at the beginning of the book, we have a number of questions. 10 reasons you must read out of Egypt. Do you long for spiritual fulfillment, yet it seems so difficult to grasp? Do you feel tired of playing church? Do you have a sense that something is not right in the professing body of Christ in America, even in the face of apparent success? Do you feel overburdened by buildings and programs? Do you ever wince at the pomp, power, and pride frequently displayed from pulpit to pew? Do you have a troubled spirit about the attitudes that are often displayed in the church's involvement in politics? Do you ever wonder why America has not experienced national revival, even though we've prayed for it for a generation? Do you feel troubled that national leaders find ethical behavior among Christians to be indistinguishable from the nation as a whole? Do you believe that American Christians are truly prepared for the second coming of Christ? Do you have trouble tying the scriptures together meaningfully? These are all questions that this book speaks to. And it's unlike anything else that is out or has been out, Stan. This is a prophetic type of book that helps to reorient our lives so that we will be prepared for the difficult times that are coming, and they are coming. If you read Revelation 13 and 14, we know that there is this one world government and power with a one world religion and a one world economy that's going to support it, and it is going to compel every single man, woman, and child to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. The scripture says that if you take that mark, you will be forever consigned. Your eternal destiny will be determined. There will be no return. You'll not be able to undo it. You'll not be able to seek forgiveness for it. It's very clear. Revelation 13 and 14 says, basically, that we must be in a position to trust God beyond anything that we can imagine at this point, or we will be taking that mark, and our eternal destiny will be consigned to a very unpleasant place. I don't want people to go there. I don't want my family going there. I want to take the risk at this time to prepare people to trust God. And quite frankly, the spirit of our age, the spirit of this nation, the spirit of believers in this nation is not to trust God, but to seek their best life now. If you're seeking your best life now, from the pulpit of Oprah Winfrey to the pulpit of Joel Osteen in the largest Protestant church in America, how are you going to be prepared to endure tough times? It ain't going to happen. People are going to capitulate, and they're going to find every reason under the sun to take the mark. They're not going to trust God.
I agree with you. I think that it is our job to make people understand that we are truly involved in a spiritual battle, and if we're not prepared for it, we're going to lose that battle. You wouldn't send a football team into a major game unless, of course, they'd been working out, they'd been practicing, and they were in the best possible shape. Well, I believe our people have to be in shape spiritually, and I believe there's so many things now that point to the fact that we are moving into some very, very difficult times. One only has to look and see what's happening, certainly in this country, as we begin to lose the very integrity of our nation. Our borders are wide open. Our finances are in shatters. Our industry is leaving. Our jobs are leaving. And I think we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg.
Well, this
here.
Is exactly what God said would happen to Israel in Deuteronomy 28. Moses told them when they came out of Egypt, he says, look, if you don't walk with full trust in the Lord, this is what's going to happen. Read Deuteronomy 28. It lays out exactly what's happened to America in the last 50, 60 years.
Well, I think that the book is must be doing very well. They're bringing it up back again, aren't they? What printing are you in now?
This is the second printing, Stan.
Okay, fine. Well, anyway, it's a great book. And, of course, the analogies to what's happened in the past and then what's going on today. And there's a section in there on the Statue of Liberty, which is always very, very touching to me.
Actually, the Statue of Liberty is in my book, Renewing the Soul of America. That's chapter one in Renewing the Soul of America. And, yeah, people have actually fallen on their faces and wept after reading that chapter in Renewing the Soul of America.
Well, that is a great book as well. In fact, I think we carry both of your books because
yes.
We think that the message is really so, so powerful. So what's the message you'd like to leave to the people today?
Well, Stan, I want to encourage people to take seriously the Lord's warnings. Jesus warned, the Apostle Paul warned, each of the other apostles warned, the prophets all warned of the time that was coming, because God didn't want these things to take us unawares. And God wants us to trust Him. You know, the scripture says, the song says, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You get those two words together and understand what they mean. The book Out of Egypt will unfold the implications of those two words in ways that perhaps you have never conceived. To trust and obey. Obedience is the litmus paper test of our trust. But today in America and in the American church, we absolutely hate the word obey. We hate it. From pulpit to pew, we hate the word obey. And we'll use every kind of way to try to get out from under it. We'll say, well, there's no grace in that, no mercy in that, or we'll call it legalism. We'll find every way to try to hide from the word obey. But when God spoke to Israel coming out of Egypt through Moses, he said, obey my voice.
Well,
and
you know,
that's the lingering message that God wants to bring to his people. If you really trust me, obey my voice.
Well, you know what really bothers me, Chuck, is that I'm very fearful that when times get bad in this country, there are an awful lot of people who've been Christians and gone to these feel-good churches where they don't preach the gospel and everything's got to be fine and God would never let anything bad happen to you or you're going to be raptured before anything bad should happen to America. And if things get bad, they're not going to know what to do. They're going to be totally lost.
You know, you're exactly right. The latest issue of Ministries Today magazine, this is addressed to pastors and parachurch leaders. The latest issue has a feature article on our total discipleship failure in this country. Our people don't know the Bible. They don't know how to trust God. They've been given Milky Toast messages, feel-good messages. about how to live your best life now, and they really haven't been told the gospel truth. And so they've been, their itching ears have been scratched. There's been no discipleship. And now all of a sudden here, on the near edge of the second coming, with things just in our nation just falling apart, all of a sudden there's a recognition we haven't been doing the simple thing that Jesus said to do. He said, I want you to make disciples. I'll build my church. We decided to build churches and have failed to make disciples. Now look at the mess we're in. A radically undiscipled people on the near edge of the second coming, who with 350,000 congregations, more Bibles per capita than any other nation on the face of the earth, a massive Christian publishing industry, a massive Christian music industry, but we have very little trust in God.
Let's go ahead and get your website out, Chuck.
SaveUs.org. That's www.saveus or saveus.org. They can listen to my programs. They can get the book Out of Egypt there at $17. And I can almost guarantee them they're not going to be disappointed. They're going to read it two or three times.
God bless. Thanks very much.
American Discount Home Medical Equipment sells at discount prices. We sell wheelchairs, oxygen equipment, hospital beds, commodes, fast safety products, walkers, and other items needed for the care of your loved one at home. Our phone number is 1-800-956-6616. We sell at one half of retail price or less. We have free shipping and no sales tax for any shipment outside of California. You can expect to receive the item within 7 days. Our website address is www.home-med-equip.com. Again, our phone number is 1-800-956-6616.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels, housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Live 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs featured on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, ResearchedHerbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. Researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and, of course, we do carry the book Out of Egypt by Chuck Crismeyer. We think it's an excellent book, and he does an excellent job. Now, for those of you who don't know, Pastor Crismeyer actually shares a Telstar 5 with me. He and I and several other people are up there on Telstar 5, and we always have an excellent excellent time. And so you can actually listen to his program, actually 3 hours a day. You can listen to my program 9 hours a day. Actually, we carry both the Chuck Chris Myers books, if you'd like to get them, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we need to remind you, Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters for a gift of $20 a month or more, well, you'll get our four best tapes or CDs of the month and monthly newsletter, but you'll be helping us. We're trying to get Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book reprinted, that Secret Records Revealed, and if, of course, what we do is we offer you a pre-publication case of the books for $149.95, and then when they're printed, well, you get the books, because we will not bill your credit card until we have everything in place and the books are ready to be printed. So if you'd like to get them and help Dr. Cuddy and help us as well, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's a case of Dr. Dennis Cuddy's excellent book, Secret Records Revealed, with an index and with an epilogue that brings it right up to date. And it's the sort of book that has all the quotations and the source of the quotations that will really help you to understand the truly diabolical forces that are aligned against us today. And, of course, one of our major thrusts of my book and Dr. Dennis Cuddy's books and other is to let people understand we're involved in a spiritual battle, hopefully to bring them to the Lord, and to understand the true nature of the enemy that we're dealing with, because this is truly a satanic enemy out there. If you doubt that, you need to get, of course, the book Hostage to the Devil by Malachi Martin. And, of course, we hope many of you want to get my four interviews with Malachi Martin along with that. It's called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. We also have some other very interesting things. We have the books. Now, these are used books, I have to tell you, but they're in good shape, at least those that you'll get right at this time if you order them right away. Copies of Kiss the Boys Goodbye, Monica Jensen Stevenson's book about Vietnam, the men we abandoned, of the CIA involvement in drugs. The book was so effective that somebody put pressure on the publisher to pull it off the shelves, and then when Monica got the rights to the book back and moved to Canada, somebody bought of her publisher and just accidentally shredded 5,000 paperback copies of her book. Can you imagine that? Oh, shucks, they're just so inefficient. Well, we do have the book, and, of course, the book is $21.95. If you get it to us, and, of course, we hope that you'll want to go ahead and get the four tape set, The Men We Left Behind, that goes along with Kiss the Boys Goodbye. We actually have copies of Spite House in paperback, and, of course, we give you if you get the book and the four tape set, we give you $5 off or not. You can get certainly the book, the Kiss the Boys Goodbye, plus the tape set. I think it's $39.95. You get the book and the paperback of Spite House for $24.95. So if you'd like to get them, we still have them, and hopefully we'll have them for at least for a month or so. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We hope you'll want to get some of the DVDs that explain what really happened on 911. Alex Jones, Terror Storm. One of my favorites, which is 911, Press for the Truth, the story of the Jersey Girls, other four widows who lost their husbands in the Twin Towers and wanted to find out what really happened. It's amazing what four determined women could do. And if we had a few thousand determined Americans, we could take America back literally overnight, because there are not many people on the other side. They're just very well organized, and they have the wealth of the world behind them. And then, of course, finally, of course, we want to certainly ask you to pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV. War.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And this afternoon, they're the views of Dr. Stephen Houston, who heads the chapel. And is that at Oxford or Cambridge?
That's Oxford, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so very much for being with us today. And we're going to be talking about some of the things that are going on in the world and perhaps in the Middle East, and the things that Dr. Houston is really right on the cutting edge of. So could you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and your background?
Well, number one, it's a great joy to be with the American public on this wonderful radio show together with you, Dr. Stanley Monteith, and it's my privilege to be with you. What a joy it is to know that we're right at the place in human history where action is necessary in this post-election climate in the United States of America for us to begin to take the high ground as moral value voters again. So what a joy it is to come from the United Kingdom. We believe, and there are many of us here who believe, that America is at the crossroads. We're looking to America as being the most developed democracy that we have, that mankind has ever seen, and in fact, if the survival of America is really in the maximum in our minds, because we know that the rest of Europe and the Western democracies will belly up in the face of what is really against it at this time. So it's a joy to be with you. My background is, number one, to have been ordained in 1978. Then I worked within the Methodist Church for some 11 years in Ireland and also in England. After that, I built two independent churches in England, one in a town that I live in Chippenham, and one in Bristol, which is in the west of England. Then I spent from 2001, just after 9/11, until 2005, working within the intelligence community in and out of D.C., joint U.S.-UK intelligence, dealing with this war on terror and the present climate in the world. Obviously, you can hear my Belfast accent, so if you put Belfast and 9/11 together, your listeners will kind of have a handle as to why I was useful to the people in D.C. So that's really my background up to date. Right now, I've established a church again in Chippenham, Pentecostal work, and would you believe it, Oxford College Chapel has accepted a Pentecostal work in my own person to be involved there as well. So it's a great joy to be able to have an input from a born-again Christian point of view in such a liberal establishment.
Well, tell us a little bit about what your take is on what's going on in the Middle East and in this whole war on terror.
Well, I think that you probably, sir, have got a pretty good handle yourself. The only thing that I would see as being very significant at this time is the buildup of naval operations in the Persian Gulf and also the Indian Ocean, which includes some 11 navies, with the view to possibly invading Iran. And that can be worrying, I'm sure, for the U.S. troops. When one thinks of that, and I'm sure those who are maybe not moral value voters but listening to the program who may be Democrats in America listening to this show may be worried, and so on and so forth.
Well, you hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. We're going to pull on some people who didn't hear the introduction, so if I say a little of repetition, you'll understand
sure. What's
going on. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Dr. Stephen Houston, and he is, say, a minister, an ordained minister, who has actually, of all things, worked with intelligence units for a period of several years during the early part of this decade, and then of course now he has his own chapel, and he is actually associated and affiliated with the chapel at Oxford University. But we were going to be talking today about really what's going on in the Middle East and really what's going on in the world, not only from a Christian point of view, but from a geopolitical point of view. Although you really can't separate them, Dr. Stephen Houston was simply commenting about his concern about the massive buildup of naval forces in the Persian Gulf and that area of the world. You said there's something, ships from 11 different navies there?
Yes, indeed. Most of the Arabic world, with the exceptions of Saudi Arabia, who've decided to not be involved because of the Wahhabi influence from Islam within the nation. But it includes the Indian Navy, which is quite sizable, and of course the U.S. is present there. The Iranians have, of course, poked fun at this operation, saying that it's really just saber-rattling. That's a very interesting development, considering we know that Iran has had some of the remit of weapons of mass destruction. Oh, dare I mention that, that we're supposed to have not found inside Iraq, but I can tell your listeners today that we most definitely did find weapons of mass destruction, and it's an awesome reality whenever the blood of boys and girls and the military has been spilt in Afghanistan and Iraq, and many folks in the U.S. and U.K. and other coalition nations don't know the reason why, all because of diplomatic issues.
And, of course, the thing is that today the United States has something like 4 naval task force over there. A naval task force has 30 or 40 ships in it. I mean, this must be one of the largest accumulation of naval ships, you know, in many decades. All over there in the Persian Gulf, it's almost as if we're asking for some sort of a retaliation. It's like you know, tossing a match into a batch of tinder. You just never know what's going to happen.
Correct. And then with the planned mobilization of some 58,000 troops, which will be sent, U.S. troops, to be sent to Iraq after the turn of the new year. It really is quite disconcerting, not only from the point of view of the ongoing situation in Iraq, but also the fact that it then leaves the
Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stephen Houston, and Dr. Houston is simply speaking of the massive naval buildup there in the Persian Gulf. He's talking about the fact that they're going to send an additional 58,000 American troops to Iraq shortly after the first of the year. The question is, are we going to are we at the edge of a massive extension of the war in the Middle East? Certainly the American people don't want this. I think that the recent elections results suggest the American people want to get our troops out of the Middle East, want to disengage from the Middle East, but it would appear that there is a different agenda. What's your take on that?
Well, my feeling is that the Iraqi war was an unwinnable war, and the prime purpose in the invasion of Iraq was that indeed there was an Islamo-fascist connection between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda. You know, from an intelligence point of view, I have watched personally the negative publicity that has gone against different intelligence agencies and their intelligence over, say, weapons of mass destruction and different other issues. But unfortunately, it has been impossible to bring out the truth. Why? Because it involved certain nations who broke sanctions in the 90s and supplied Saddam Hussein with certain weapons-grade uranium and plutonium. And, of course, because the U.S. and other Western democracies have, for example, basically funded the space program in Kazakhstan, for example, with International Launch Services there at the Baikonur Space Dome, and also the Khrunichev Space Agency outside Moscow, is also run by ILS, or International Launch Services, which is basically a wing of Hughes Aerospace. It then puts America in a very strange position when it comes to have to deal with President Putin, who sends Spetsnaz teams down into Iraq to help him dispose of his this remit of weapons of mass destruction prior to the invasion. Now, just to answer your question, that brings us up to, you know, the disconcerting possibility of 58,000 troops being sent to Iraq, the buildup of forces. The reality is that the Islamic problem is still going to have to be dealt with, irrespective of what the American public and others, and particularly here in the European Union, may think. It still has to be dealt with and addressed. Otherwise, it will be a threat to Western democracy. There's no doubt about that in my mind. However, the other side of the coin is that this is advantageous, of course, to globalist idealists who are well embedded in major world Western democracy, Western democratic governments, and it works in their advantage to be able to influence for their particular agenda and their particular plan. And we're seeing, for example, in my opinion, as an insider, now President Bush is quite happy to work with the people that he's always wanted to work with, rather than having a lot of neocon advocates, the people who got him in power and the moral value voters who voted for those neocons to get him in. He's now let loose from those. He doesn't have to deal with Roe v. Wade. He can really go on his father's agenda.
And what do you think that agenda really is?
That agenda is, unfortunately, from my opinion, rather, as an observer and a foreign national, looking in at the United States, dangerous to say the least. I see it as a subversion of the Constitution of the United States of America, based on the 1883 United States government's establishment and the company of the United States, if one could see it in that way, and its submission to admiralty law and its establishment under marine law and banking law in the United States of America, to strap it down into this federal system that it's in right now. Quite frankly, I mean, I'm from Northern Ireland and the United Kingdom. I'm not from the States, and you may think that I'm crazy, but I think America should print its own money based on a gold reserve, get out of the International Monetary Fund and the Federal Reserve System, and become constitutional again. In fact, if I were an American citizen right now, I'd be heading towards D.C. saying, "We the people," and "We the people want some answers."
Well, I think, of course, what you're really suggesting is we're moving away from a free society towards an authoritarian one with all of this new legislation that's being passed in the name, of course, of fighting terrorism. Such things as the Military Commissions Act, which suspends the right of habeas corpus and certainly gives draconian power to these so-called military commissions. And, of course, they can hold people indefinitely. They say, of course, only for non-citizens, but then the courts have been excluded from being able to consider anything. So if you're arrested and the courts can't intervene, how can you prove that you're a citizen if nobody can intervene in your behalf? And so the difficulty we have, I see the new John Warner National Defense Act, and really, of course, suspends posse comitatus, gives the president almost dictatorial power. In fact, Congressman Leahy, who is a liberal from Connecticut, has said this legislation, which was just passed last month, which most Christians have never heard of, encourages the American president to establish a military dictatorship. Is this sort of thing you're thinking of?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's a known fact within the intelligence services, and even us from abroad, we Brits who have a cursory understanding of the situation within the United States of America are well aware of concentration camps and the possibility of martial law, which was borne out in the example of Northern Ireland, a little country about a quarter of the size of Arkansas, which was held in a martial law situation basically for 25 years to become a template to be used by Western democracies as to what to do to monitor public 24/7. And then we saw it borne out by the prolonged dealing by with the Louisiana Katrina disaster by FEMA, and the shootout on the Danziger Bridge and different other events that happened, all as kind of exercises. Then we have a situation that I know of personally firsthand of the vast amounts of foreign troops that are inside the United States already, which is a completely unconstitutional thing. We have the Luftwaffe flying in and out of Area 51. We have UN convoys heading up and down motorways, or we call them the interstate. And we have now this, as I observe it, as someone outside, this pan-North American thing with Canada, Mexico, and the United States. You know, what, if I were an American, I'd be saying, what is going on? Is this another relinquishment of sovereignty like we've had here in the EU to become part of a great rolling ideal?
I think you're absolutely right. I don't think the average American understands that a lot of what's going on in the Middle East, in my opinion, is simply a diversion, so we will not understand that there's a plan to destroy the sovereignty of the United States, and President Bush admitted and agreed to that plan on March 23rd of last year when he attended a meeting in Waco, Texas, and we have the writings of the Council on Foreign Relations. That'll be in our next month's newsletter, where we actually quote from what they said, that the president had agreed to this merging of the three societies. But we can't tell the American people that, because so many of them, believe, of course, the president would never do anything like that. And the vast majority of Americans don't want to give up their sovereignty. They don't understand that the globalists are much smarter than we are and know what's best for us.
Dr. Monteef, your listeners need to know that the last May at the NRCC, the National Republican Congressional Committee Dinner, Dance, and Do in D.C., where different states' businessmen and women are presented with businessmen or women's award for the year for their state, a certain businesswoman from Texas who was there to receive the award had listened to the president, met the president, and then John McCain stood up, and in his keynote speech, he mentioned that Congress had already passed legislation that could microchip every single American within the next 2 years, to which the Republican Congressional Committee Dinner Dance gave rapturous applause to. Now, we're not talking about biometric cards here. We're talking about microchips. And she was absolutely dumbfounded. Now, this is a woman who would testify before any congressional committee in regards to the authenticity of what I'm saying to you. I can vouchsafe for her person. She's a Christian. She has a Christian business. She's been in Christian business some 20 years, mother of 8 children, so on and so forth. I know her personally. And if the American public could only realize this juncture that it's at, this place, this axiom now, that it's having to make, and the moral value voters are on the back heel because of, say, for example, the exposure of certain things in regards to 9/11 and neoconservative Straussite ideas brought into the power play, for the necessary Pearl Harbor, etc. And we'll not get into that. But unfortunately, now the Christians are on the horns of a dilemma. What do we do? What do we vote for? And all I can say is that I believe that A, the church needs to get back to what it does best, that's saving souls. And B, when it comes to the polling booth, they need to look at things very clearly. In fact, there's really another call for another political party in America, as far as I can see.
I think you're absolutely right, and Chris.
In fact, sorry to interrupt, but it's my line of thinking here.
Oh, we're going to have to interrupt that right there. Because
okay, that's all right, sir.
We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Stephen Houston. Well, Dr. Houston, I didn't mean to interrupt your line of thought, but the computer, of course, tells me what to do. You go right ahead.
I'm sorry. All I can see, sir, is the need for and the frustration that's growing. And on a tour that I have during the summer, I had many people who came to me wondering and considerative of what needed to be done. Really, every good old boy needs to get on their motorcycle. Every good old boy needs to get in their pickup truck, and they need to head towards D.C. and alert the media and have a swarm of helicopters like bees heading towards D.C., roll out Bigfoot from some back barn in some farms in some counties, and begin to head towards D.C. as a protest and a rally. Because they are not... Listen, I have been in and out of that beltway on many occasions, and I can assure you there is a spiritual force where people take leave of their senses, people that were voted into Congress by people who had truth and believed in them, and once they get in there, they take leave of their senses. There needs to be confrontation at this time. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, of course, my belief is that we really are involved in a spiritual battle, and these are not imaginary spiritual forces. There really are a truly a demonic forces at work in America today. What was once a Christian country is no longer a Christian country. Many of our people who pretend to be Christian leaders, as Ted Haggard, we find out, the head of the National Association of Evangelicals with 30 million members,
yes,
turns out to be a closet homosexual and his whole life is a lie. And how many other Christian leaders fit into exactly that same category? And how many of our political leaders fit into that category in both political parties? And the Christians have been played like a violin. They have been actually used to get them with the idea that God is a Republican and we got to back the Republicans. And when they controlled Congress, they did nothing about abortion. Oh, they painted lip service, of course, but nothing really. They didn't save any children's lives. They couldn't even stop partial birth abortion. And they intentionally passed the legislation knowing the courts would overturn it. The height of hypocrisy, and I think David Koo's book, it came out just shortly before the election. He was a person working within the faith-based division there at the White House, and he said they used to laugh at the Christians, deride them as crazies. These are the Christian leaders who went there honestly thinking that somehow they were important because, after all, they'd been called to the White House, and then they would laugh behind their backs. I think it's time that we got Christian leaders who are not going to be taken into a stand on principles and, of course, demand that the right thing be done. And of course, I think we have to be involved in the political process, but I agree with you. I think it's time for another party because I don't think we can save either one of the two existing parties.
And I would say to your listeners also that they need to become abreast of what is really going on with programs like your own. They need to look to programs like this for leadership and guidance. Here I am, in and out of Oxford, a city which is liberal, a city that burned bishops who stood up for the Bible, who stood up for the blood of Christ, and we're in a situation now in America where the Christians have looked and focused their attention on a champion in the White House and become slack in their walk with God, become seeker-friendly with their message, become bloodless.
We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Stephen Houston, of course, who's there, works there at Oxford, and is associated with the Oxford Chapel there at Oxford University, one of the most liberal spots, certainly in Great Britain. But certainly Dr. Houston is simply talking about the problems we have in the Christian church, the problems we have in our political system today, the hypocrisy that we find in both, and the realization he has, as an Englishman, actually as an Irishman working in England, that he has, and many people in Europe share, that as America goes, so goes Western civilization. And they look to America for leadership, and I think they look and don't find any answers and very little to be encouraged about. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, yes and no. Yes, in the sense that we've watched the flaccid activity of seeker-friendly Christianity arrive, which is crossless. It assumes that people, Christians, are personally discipled by the Word of God. and we see American-style gospel, which really assumes that, well, indeed, this will be applied in the spirit and not in the energy of the flesh, which unfortunately turns out to be different. We see that, for example, being prospered in God is based on wealth as opposed to substance and fruit displayed in the life. We see the Christians in America forgetting that the blood of Christ is the maxim on Mount Zion, and in fact that is the most important thing. What we see are many churches that are involved in entertainment where the word is minimized, conviction is minimized, and a clear delineation from a fundamental point of view. And for me in Oxford, it's a hard thing to realize, considering bishops were martyred in this city for the faith. And now the world is looking to America. And listen, friends, there have been many, and your listeners know this, and I'm not knocking America. Please don't think that. There are many wonderful moves of God right through the 20th century, and in fact, beforehand, with Finney and different other ones, and Moody, and in the 21st century also. However, now, because of refocus into a neoconservative president in the White House, up until this recent election, most Christians have focused their attention on a champion to take care of the situation politically, while they could get on having a party and having a rock concert in church instead of actually winning souls, allowing holiness to arrive in their lives as an active present participle of discipleship, and getting on with what God wants to do to be, because His Son wants to have an inheritance in the saints. But the saints are too busy wanting God to come in and do it on their terms.
Well, I really think of the great tragedy of today, you know, is the fact that if you look at divorce in the church, it's actually higher statistically in the church than it is outside the church. Well, that's
exactly.
Because a lot of the people outside the church aren't bothering to get married, so they can't get divorced. But it speaks very, very poorly of what's really going on in the Christian church today. It is because we've lost our first love. We just want to feel good, and we want to be comfortable, and we want to be prosperous, and we want to be free, and we don't understand that none of those things come without paying a great price. And, of course, the ultimate goal is not to be prosperous and not to, although there's nothing wrong with being prosperous, but that is, if that is your ultimate goal, you're going to fall short of what we were really put here on earth for. And that is, of course, I believe, of course, to lead others into a personal relationship with our Lord. But if we're going to take them to a seeker-friendly church where they got a rock band up there on the stage, I believe that this is really going to turn an awful lot of people away from the gospel. They may, of course, love to come to church for entertainment. After all, you have free entertainment. You don't even have to put anything at the collection plate. But as far as really transforming their lives, and that's really what it's all about, being truly born again, why, it's not going to happen. Well, what should we be doing here in the United States, Dr. Houston, if you were here and you were leading the evangelical movement in the United States today?
There's a need for leadership in evangelical circles. It has been let down by those who have been more interested in assassinating Hugo Chavez or getting occupied with some secret sin or whatever. What is needed is leadership to rail at government. In the olden times, in the times of Cromwell here in England, in the times of the martyred bishops, those men of God would rail at government and point their finger from the pulpit towards the government. And it's not happening in America today, and America is the lead when it comes to the most developed democracy. Listen, only 30% of Europe votes, so no one here has a mandate to govern. They couldn't care less in the EU if Madonna was in charge and was president of the EU. We have a socialist government here in the United Kingdom that's...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest, is Dr. Stephen Houston, and we're talking about really what's going on in America and the real need for leadership that will point people in the right direction and will not compromise on the major issues of our time. And can preach, as we you certainly have, as Charles Spurgeon and other great ministers of the past have, that will bring people to repentance. So pick up the story there, Dr. Houston.
Well, I think those that have failed shouldn't be condemned. The bottom line is we all fail. Those people need to understand that that is not the maxim or the standard. In other words, Samson is not our standard, or David is not our standard, but Jesus is our standard. And in manner of life, etc., etc. So, in fact, if you've been a divorcee and you're listening to the program, you're thinking, well, those guys are condemning me. Listen, no, you know you can rebound in grace in 1 John 2:1 because you've got an advocate with a father who ever liveth to make intercession for you in Hebrews 7:25, and you can get back on track. I mean, we hate divorce, but some folk have to go through it, but you can get right. To get back to the real issues right now, we need in Western democracy to focus our attention on not trying to compete with the world. The church is trying to compete with the world, to have as good music as the world, as good overhead projection as the world, and here we have a church worshiping an overhead projector every single Sunday. Look at me worshiping thee, hardly able to follow the month, flavor of the month new songs that are coming through that really I'm getting quite bored with. And I want a good old Sankey hymn. I want Power in the Blood. I want, some good old-fashioned blood-stirring hymn that will again focus my attention on the fact that Jesus Christ died for me and I'm grateful for my salvation and so on and so forth. And we've got, our focus has been deceived. And this follows through into every single, if you think about this, friends, and I've wept on board flights as I've flown about in the United States thinking of the families in farms that are beneath me when I'm flying in the Great Plains and whatever. And I'm looking down and thinking of those people who came to settle those areas, who were pioneers, who settled those areas, that are now the focus of major attack politically, ethnically, and ideologically, and also religiously, against them to disseminate what they believed in, and yet that was what made America great in the first place.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Stephen Houston. He's read a rather fascinating life, having not only been a minister, but having been associated with various intelligence agencies for several years. Dr. Houston, do you have a website or anything that you'd like to get information out here on our program?
Yes, very simple, Dr. Stan. I've done most of the talking, and I do apologize for that. Once you get an Irishman talking, it's trouble. The website is entitled The Houston Files, and actually I'm related to Sam Houston. I come from Northern Ireland. His family are, in fact, were related to us. We were, if you trace it backward, two family strands. In fact, my cousins are all of his strand, who went eventually to Norfolk. It's simply The Houston Files, H-O-U-S-T-O-N, The Houston Files, FILES.org. One word, thehoustonfiles.org. All lowercase.
All right, fine. What will people find if they go there?
Sorry?
What sort of material will they find if they go to your file? In other words, why
well, the
want
Houston
to go?
Files is a hub to not only my political website, but also my preaching website. There are a variety of different websites that will be the hub to. And I always come out with a weekly update on the political scene. I take it from an outsider from America who has got a great heart for the American people, ordinary American people and America, and I make my comment on what's actually going on outside here in the EU and in Great Britain and across the world for the benefit of those that are in the United States.
Well, just a little off this the subject, but do you think that we are going to go to war with Iran? Do you think the United States really does have plans to, by one means or another, be involved, whether it's an invasion or simply an air attack on Iran? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think, sir, that you've said by whatever means. I think the great fear from the intelligence community was that Ahmadinejad, the Tehran president, would launch a strike against Israel, or the other way around, that in fact he would infuriate the Israelis so much that they would have had enough, because the Israelis and Mossad, that Shin Mossad already know that he has nuclear weapons. Also, there's a link between AQ Khan, do you remember, and also the link between Iran and North Korea.
Khan is the Pakistani scientist who developed the father of the Pakistani bomb.
Correct, right. Yes. So the concern was that from the U.S. and U.K. point of view, that there was going to be some kind of strike or retaliatory strike, and then we would all be hauled into a scenario. My thought to your listeners is watch the next 6 months up until May, because from our intelligence point of view, even though I'm now just since 2005 in an advisory role, but I'm still consulted and still have a secure phone to be able to talk to people who phone me, because I still give my opinion. I think that there is going to be some event between now and maybe even during the month of May that may precipitate something, and I did say during the summer of this year that this may be our last nuclear-free summer.
Well, I think that's really a rather frightening thing to contemplate, and yet, I share your concern. I don't know what's going to happen, but, the information we get from our sources is very similar to yours, that something big is afoot in the Middle East. And what really bothers me is President Ahmadinejad of Iran is totally irrational. In other words, he's making statements that no logical person would make. And some of the other people in high positions in Iran, faced with the possibility of an attack from the United States, you would think they would be doing everything to make conciliations, to try to avoid confrontation, and they seem to be doing everything just the opposite. Doesn't make sense unless there is another agenda out there. Do you ever have that feeling?
Well, the Russians, one needs to realize that Putin is Andropov's protege. He was trained by the KGB. He has most of his KGB men now running the Duma. Saddam Hussein had been schooled by Pekepa from the Romanian Securitate, or Secret Service, as to what to do in the disposal of weapons of mass destruction. Now we have Putin's government flexing its muscles, saying, together with China, that they will back up Iran if indeed there's any invasion of Iran. And we have a scenario set, basically, for Ezekiel 38. But we're not there yet. We're still at the place where the false shepherds have to be routed out in Ezekiel, and it's a little ways off. However, without getting too spiritual in this thing, the scene is we're beginning to see, friends, we are at the place where we're going to see fireworks in the world, sadly to say. But we're at that place, and we need, as Christians, to focus our attention on programs like this that are giving you leadership and guidance and will keep you updated with what you need to hear as we have this rolling. Now, this idea that there's going to be some kind of rapture and then it's all going to happen. Listen, the Word of God clearly teaches, whether you believe in a rapture or not, that there is going to be birth pangs and a roll into this thing, and that the Antichrist will be obvious even prior to any kind of final 7 years if one holds that particular view. So we're living in a very strategic time. It's a time that Christians need to band together and pray. They need to get guidance, and they need to stay firm with the Lord.
I agree with you totally, and of course, I think sometimes the rapture certainly tends to neutralize people. In other words, they say it's not going to bother me because I'm not going to be here when things get bad. And I would like to say, where does it say that in the Bible? What happens if the rapture comes 20 years after our cities are in rubble here in the United States? Then what are you going to say? Are you prepared for difficult times if they do come? And I believe if God is just, he is going to bring judgment on America, which had so much, and of course has repaid God with a total disregard for his laws and for his teachings. So I certainly share your concern, and I'm very much concerned that if you look at what's going on in the Middle East today, it doesn't make sense. If you look at it from a biblical point of view, and as you mentioned, Ezekiel 38, I think everybody needs to get out of Ezekiel 38 and start looking up all those nations that are listed there, and they all seem to be just sort of falling in place, don't they? Almost as if this script was written just a few weeks ago rather than almost 2,000 years ago.
Yes, and I would say this to American pastors that are listening to this program. We in Northern Ireland, many Pentecostals, Baptists, evangelicals believed in the rapture. And then all of a sudden the troubles happened and people started to throw their Dake's annotated Bible out the window, and many even lost their faith. At one stage, a terrorist organization broke into a Pentecostal church and shot 16 people, including the elders and some of the choir. And people were going, well, why should this tribulation come to us? And, people get stupid because there has always been tribulation for some people at some time. And the reality is that when Peter stood in Acts, the second chapter, he was speaking to basically Jewish nation at that time with a sermon referring to Joel 2. Well, he assumed that the congregation already knew the first part of Joel 2, which talked about their repentance, getting right with God, getting their lives sorted out before the Spirit would fall, and then there would be prophecy and old men see dreams, etc., etc. There was an understanding, because of rabbinical law and rabbinical teaching, those people understood immediately what he was referring to, and it was an assumption, but yet it was something that was an academic assumption on Peter's part. The trouble is today, Christians say, well, I'm not under judgment, I'm under grace, it's all going to be hunky-dory, Jesus is coming, I'm going to be out of here, and well, we don't have to worry about this stuff. Let's get home from the service, let's watch the ball game.
Well, I think that if things go as you and I fear, I fear an awful lot of these people are going to lose their faith. And as it happened certainly in Germany after the Second World War. It sounds like it happened in Belfast, during the terrorist movement there. And I fear that, similar things will happen in America. And the church, which was once the major stabilizing force in our society, will cease to lose all influence that it has as people simply turn their backs on the scriptures because they realize they've been lied to.
Well, it's back to there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. See, people have removed the foundations, and Christians have removed the foundations. And I'm not referring to us becoming right-wing fundamentalists or somewhere right of Bob Jones or Carl McIntyre as an international evangelical church movement. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is we've lost sight of the passion that we had because of the wonderful born-again experience of salvation. We've lost sight of that. Somehow that's got muddied into this hazy, crazy theological quagmire, and there's been no definition in recent years and declaration. And this is the same problem that I see throughout the United States. I see here in Britain with the World Council of Churches, etc., and the battle we have here in Oxford and other places is existentialism, and Karl Barth, Emil Brunner, Paul Tillich in the United States, and the influence of liberal arts on the entire academic field, where Bible fundamentalism is relegated to institutes that are unaccredited. In fact, here in the United Kingdom, might I encourage pastors to start Bible colleges that are listening and have them unaccredited. Here in the United Kingdom, if you're unaccredited, most born-again Christians say, well, at least this man, if he's gone to that school and it's unaccredited, he'll be preaching the gospel.
Well, Chris, we can look through the history of America. And most Americans really don't know the history of our country very well, from the first colony at Jamestown through the pilgrims coming. By 1740, why, the Christian foundation of America was totally gone. America became pretty much a pagan country until we had the first Great Awakening, with Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley coming over from England. A tremendous impact transformed America, laid the foundation really for the Declaration of Independence and for the American Revolution. And then 100 years later, by 1830, it happened all over again. We were just as corrupt as ever, and then along came Charles Finney, and there was a second Great Awakening. Our hope and prayer is that there we will find the leaders who can lead a third Great Awakening in America, because without that, I really believe that America, indeed Christian civilization, is doomed.
And yet the strange thing is, Dr. Stan, that in Ukraine today, a country and Romania, countries that are poverty-stricken. I had a visit from Ukrainian families and pastors about 2 weeks ago who came through. They are on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are a light in a dark continent. Europe is a dark continent, a continent that colonized the world. And, of course, America, and I would say this to American folk right now, don't get condemned about your actions as people of faith and as a nation. We here in Britain, we're told that we did such bad things in the colonies. Listen, if Britain and the British Empire hadn't have gone and colonized in Africa, people would still be boiling one another in pots as cannibals. They wouldn't have the Bible, the Word of God, and despite the fact that we went and raked the country for gold, etc., the other side of the coin, which is never ever brought out by liberals or never ever brought out by people of deception, is the reality of the expansion of the wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I hear about, what bad America has done here, there, and throughout the world, listen, everywhere America goes, including Iraq, Afghanistan, go forth military chaplains, go forth Bibles, go forth the Word of God, and even if it's never spoken, just the influence and the angelic presence attending to that military, or anybody else for that matter, is unseen by human eye, but is powerful in terms of the demographic when it comes to the advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth.
Well, I think that's absolutely right, and I do believe that there are places in the world where, of course, there is a tremendous growth of Christianity. Unfortunately, it is not here in the United States, and when we talk about how things are getting better here, and you look at the gospel that's being preached so many places, well, you wonder what in heaven's name these people are talking about. They've changed the music, they've changed the message of our churches, and everything is feeling good. And what we've tried to do is create a gospel without Jesus Christ. We've tried to preach a church without judgment, and we've tried to have a Christianity without a cross, and you can't do it. And until we get back to the original teachings of Christianity, why, we will continue our downward spiral. But I think that things are going to have to get a lot worse before they get better, and our only prayer and our hope is that there will be the leaders, perhaps some of the young people listening to this program today, will take it upon themselves to get an education, to become schooled in the Scriptures, and hopefully among them will be another John Wesley or another Jonathan Edwards.
Correct.
Or another Charles Finney, who can lead America back to where it once was as the leader of Christendom throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got about 2 minutes to 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What is the final message you would like to leave with our listeners today?
I would say to the moral value voters that feel shortchanged, not loose-changed, but shortchanged by the government in the administration at the moment, they need to refocus their attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to begin again to refocus their attention on their local communities, their local church, and get involved in the corporate expression of Jesus Christ person on a local basis. They also need again to cherish resources like this program and many others that are going out. We don't have this in Europe. So I just want to say this to you listeners, to cherish what you have in America.
You're absolutely right. You know, friends, even in Canada, you don't have Christian, broadcasts. You may have a few Christian broadcasts, but you do not have Christian radio stations as such. And my understanding is that there are not very many of them over there in Great Britain. Fortunately, we do have access, though, to the Internet. We have access to shortwave. And we do have listeners not only in Great Britain, but really throughout the world who are getting our message. Or nearly our message really talks on geopolitics or history or health, but the real purpose, you know, the real reason we do what we do is not about health. We want you to know about health, but that's not our real purpose. Finances? Well, of course, one day, of course, all the finances are really not going to matter. As someone once said, nobody gets out of this world alive, and you never saw anybody, hearse on the way to the graveyard pulling a U-Haul trailer. It just doesn't work that way. So, anyway, of course, hang on. We're going to just have just a few more minutes here. It's important that each one of you out there in the listening audience evaluates what's really important, and that is your personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, our guest has been Dr. Stephen Houston. Actually, we have 3 minutes I hadn't calculated on. And so let me just ask you, what's going on in Ireland today? Have things quieted down over there, or is there still that terrible conflict between the Catholics and the Protestants?
Grave things are happening in Ireland, and I can say this unequivocally, that generally the country is advancing and thriving on the good Friday Agreement and the peace plan. And might I say, many, many clergy were involved. They were proactive in involving themselves in community relationship with godfathers of terrorist organizations. If indeed it ever comes to it in America, I would say that the example borne out by churches in the response to Katrina and different other things was exemplary of what we could expect if there was ever a problem internally in America. And I would just again encourage the Americans to look to their communities, look to their leaders, feel led to be a leader, and rise up and meet the plate whenever it comes to doing God's will.
Well, is Ian Paisley still over there? Is he still a force at all?
Yes, he is. In fact, his party are in power. They have ended up the major Protestant Unionist Party. I know Dr. Paisley very well. And respect him. Unfortunately, from a literary point of view, if one describes him in a literary sense, he's kind of like a man out of season. He should have really been in around the time of Oliver Cromwell, but God had it that he was around at the time he was to take a stand, and many of us clergy in Ireland, together with him, stood shoulder to shoulder. It wasn't just a loud-mouthed Free Presbyterian. There were many of us, Baptists, Pentecostal, Methodists, and others, that stood shoulder to shoulder with him in a refusal to be railroaded down into the European Union and into some great big Roman superpower.
And of course, is he still a member of Parliament?
Yes, he is.
He must have been there. He's been there ever since I can remember. That's a long time.
He certainly has. And the voice has not diminished, although the physique may have diminished, but the voice hasn't.
Well, God bless you, Dr. Houston. I really appreciate so much your being with us and giving us an insight into what's going on in Europe and Ireland and, of course, in the Middle East as well. And I hope perhaps we can get you onto another of our programs sometime and we can explore many of the things we didn't get a chance to get into today.
My privilege, Dr. Stanley Monteith. My privilege.
God bless you. Thank you so very much, sir. Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, that was Dr. Stephen Houston. I hope you enjoyed him. And, of course, we perhaps can get him back again sometime soon. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when, of course, we need to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining our Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we are going to be able to continue doing what we're doing. When Dr. Houston was talking about the German pilots here, there is a German fighter base in New Mexico or Arizona, where they train German fighter pilots and they bring their squadrons over here to the United States. There are troops from throughout the world who are being actually trained here in the United States. Why are we doing this? Because our leaders have a different vision. They do not believe in America. They do not believe in sovereignty. They believe in a new world order and a new world religion because they worship a different God. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to read it. You need to understand what dualism is about. You need to understand there are people who worship a different God and have a different dream and a different worldview. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the book. You can get the DVD. You can get the tape. You can get all three of them together for the Brotherhood of Darkness special, and we hope you'll get that. And this would be just the introduction to this whole different world. We would like to suggest that most of what you think you know just is not true. And I'll never forget, 44 years ago, when I'd graduated from the University of California, and I was one of the youngest people to graduate there, my class of medical school, and of course I had a Phi Beta Kappa Key and all sorts of honor societies, and I really thought I was pretty smart, until I turned into the wrong television program one evening and had somebody suggest that most of what I believed wasn't true. And I set out to prove the gentleman wrong, and of course that was a mistake because my life has never been the same since then. And I do hope that many of you will want to challenge what we say and try to determine wherein the truth lies. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Pull down our newsletters. If you want the verification for anything we say, why, you can always contact us and we'll try to provide it for you. And, of course, we do hope that you'll read the material we have there. We're offering a book which has been suppressed for many years. It's called Kiss the Boys Goodbye by Monica Jensen Stevenson. We bought up a number of these off the Internet. They're hard copies. They are secondhand, but they're usually, most of them are in excellent shape. And if you order, the sooner you order, the better your copy will be. We're selling them at the original price. And then, of course, we're hoping many of you will want to get my interview with Monica Jensen Stevenson, who wrote Kiss the Boys Goodbye, a book which has been suppressed and shredded, and it's an amazing story of everything they've done to suppress it. Why? Because the book talks about the CIA involvement in drugs. Monica's lucky, though, however. Gary Weber wrote about that. He was a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter from the San Jose Mercury who ended up shooting himself in the head twice to make sure he was dead. Ladies and gentlemen, this sort of thing happens in America today. Don't think for one minute it doesn't. In fact, I've had just several people I've interviewed who had very violent deaths, and other people doing the same sort of work I am that had violent deaths. But we do what we do because we have to look to God for protection. And if we live in fear, why, of course, we're already defeated. So let me just suggest that if you'd like to get the book, Kiss the Boys Goodbye, and Chris, you can get that with the tape set, the four tape set at a reduced price. You can actually get the book and the tape set for $39.95. If you'd like Spite House, all we have are used secondhand softbound copies, but you can get the book and the four tape set for $24.95. If you want to get them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do hope many of you want to help us get Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book, Secret Records Revealed, reprinted, and of course you can get a case of those at the pre-publication price of $149.95 for an entirely case of his books. And then, of course, we hope many of you out there will certainly go to our website, pull down our newsletters, copy those newsletters, especially those on vaccines. You'll need to get the video by Dr. Ayub on the influenza vaccine. You're being deceived by people in government. Pray for America. Pray for revival. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Till tomorrow, Monday, may the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.